How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every week by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, who's busy watching something right now. I presume it's hockey, but when he mentioned the team name, it didn't ring a bell. So maybe we'll talk about that after the break. But as far as wrestling and mixed martial arts news, we have plenty of it today. Lockdown is this evening. TNA's, well, it's not considered their biggest pay-per-view of the year, but most years it is their biggest pay-per-view of the year. It's all cage matches. We'll talk about the lineup of the show. We'll talk about Impact this past Thursday night, which led to this show, which quite frankly was not a very good edition of Impact. And we'll talk about all of the other news, including the biggest story of the week. One of the biggest stories of the year is actually the retirement of Edge out of nowhere. Edge is done with the business as far as in-ring. He was told by his doctor he needed to retire, spinal stenosis stemming from his neck injury that he suffered and underwent surgery for 8 years ago. We'll tell you about his career, the end of his career, what they're going to be doing as far as the championship at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. And a lot more. Got sad news as well. We didn't have a chance to talk about this because it happened shortly after we went off the air last week. But the death of Larry Sweeney, who, given the status of managers in the 21st century, probably was the best manager of the 21st century. He was never in WWE. He was never in TNA. His biggest fame was in Ring of Honor. But as far as the role of the manager, he did it better than anyone else over the last decade. And he passed away. We'll tell you about his career. And in fact, I had several matches with him, so we can talk a little bit about that as well. King of Trios is going on right now. We'll talk to you about Tough Enough. Several matches for the Rio UFC, including potentially the return of Royce Gracie. We'll talk about possible opponents for that. Chris Jericho on Dancing with the Stars, the debut of Awesome Kong, the Champion Carnival Finals. An update on Pero Aguayo Jr. I believe we talked about this a little bit last week on the show. There's not really a lot of new information. We'll still tell you about that. Plus all the news. Raw is tomorrow night. We've got Toronto coming up. Lots of stuff. Starting out in just a moment, you're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, what are you watching?
Got the DVR going on right now for the New York Rangers and Washington Capitals.
And is that hockey?
That is, yes, that is North American professional hockey.
How about that?
Men on skates.
And I presume it's exciting?
It is very exciting. It's amazing to see 220-pound men on skates, you know, whipping around. Chris Jericho, very good on skates. Imagine him just coming at you, you know, 60 miles an hour on skates and slamming a little puck into your face.
Yeah, I went to a hockey game exactly one time in my life, and it was fun. I didn't understand the game one bit, but there were brawls here and there that I thought were kind of exciting.
And see, and that's why what makes hockey special. People want to take that out of the game. No, you need to have that in the game. A little bit of action.
Well, a little bit of action, but I also think that you don't want excessive violence and hockey sticks to the face.
Well, no, of course not. I mean, hockey is still a sport. It's just sports entertainment a little bit, too.
Well, that's true. That's true. I wanted to start off today talking about the retirement of Edge. One of the big stars, one of the biggest stars in WWE, actually. Probably, in some ways, the face of SmackDown. And he's done. He has retired. He was suffering some, actually going into WrestleMania, he'd been having a lot of neck pain. He'd had some numbness and some shaking in his arms. And they had him do the MRI and he still did WrestleMania. They still kept the title on him, even though the plan, there was actually a plan to take the belt off him and put it on Alberto at Royal Rumble. Then that changed to WrestleMania. Then they changed it again. And keep in mind that not only did they keep the title on him, when they knew that his neck was in bad shape and they'd sent him for an MRI, not only did they keep the belt on him, but the plan was to do Alberto and Edge in a ladder match at the next pay-per-view, which quite frankly is just boggles my mind. But that's what they were going to do. And the MRI came back, not good, spinal stenosis, same thing that ended Steve Austin's career. And the doctor essentially told him, one bad bump, you may not get up. And so Edge hung it up, didn't even do one more match to drop the title in the ring. He was just done. And so the title is vacant. Christian won a battle royal on SmackDown. It is Christian versus Alberto Del Rio in a ladder match for the championship at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Which, by the way, shows you that they haven't learned their lesson of Edge as far as these crazy high-impact ladder matches. And what are your thoughts on the whole situation, Mike?
Yeah, it's kind of sad, but in a way he gets to go out as a young man, not exactly on his own terms, obviously, but at least he can go and try to live more of a pain-free life. Steve Austin, I think it was this week, talked about the fact that, you know, hey, I could come back if I wanted to, but, you know, I'm walking around now relatively pain-free every day, and in professional, you know, it's very difficult to be able to do that, and Edge is going to be able to do that now and not have to risk being paralyzed. I mean, spinal stenosis, it's why take the risk? And he gets to walk away, you know, now, and it's really bad for WWE and shows a lack of depth that they have on their roster because you lose an all-around guy. He could talk. He could be, you know, obviously incredibly cheered by the fans, but he could also be a slimy, low-down kind of character as well. I mean, he could kind of do a little bit of everything, the Kane feud this last time around notwithstanding in that, but which, by the way, he shook hands with Kane, which just absolutely killed me, too. I guess, you know, Kane really did want his father to die, I guess. He thanked him for it, but it's just, it's too bad for WWE because they lose another guy that could actually do everything and who got legitimate reactions from the fans, and I'm glad they did what they did. It makes WrestleMania now make a little bit more sense if they knew it, you know, ahead of time, because the result of that obviously was like, well, why is Alberto Del Rio not only losing but getting his car busted up? You can do revisionist history now and have Edge knowing it was going to be his last match or something like that on a DVD later on down the line. But the fact they let him go out there, give his speech, and didn't cut him off for that, and they had him out there on SmackDown, too, I thought that was a classy move, and, you know, it's too bad his career's got to end this way, but at least he gets to go, you know, head L die.
Were you getting a call in the middle of that speech?
Yes.
You know, what's funny about that was it caused your line to go quiet for a moment. You know how when you get a call, it goes quiet?
Yes.
Happened to do that right as you were saying the words professional wrestling. That just cannot be a coincidence.
I didn't see who it was, if the call was actually coming from Connecticut or not. I know the Gallup organization has been calling me all day.
Really?
Maybe WWE has hired them on to actually ask what I prefer more, entertainment or sports entertainment, because God knows it won't be professional wrestling.
That is true. Yeah, the one thing that was kind of, I don't know, I just watched SmackDown like before we did this show, which sadly is one of the reasons you're not watching hockey right now, but I'm watching this show and it opened, or actually the middle of the show has another, has Edge come out to vacate the title, and you know they sent Edge on the European tour, right?
Yep.
And he's over there giving these retirement speeches at every show. And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, man, this guy must be sick of leaving, you know?
Like, we'll get to the end, at least I'll have his rap completely down, and it's just like, you know, wherever he's at, it's like, you know, thank you, you know, Oberhausen, and then, you know, he'll be good with it and then be completely ready to be done when he gets, you know, all done. And look at the trip, too. I mean, you know, wrestlers and travel as it is bad enough, so your final trip, it ends up being, you know, as far away as you can possibly go, almost. And going to Europe, so yeah, I think he'll be ready for this whole thing to be over when he's back.
Well, I just remember thinking that, man, you know, I'm sure that first speech on Raw was like, you know, really hard for him. And then he's got to go do the next one on SmackDown, and then, you know, he's in Germany, and then he's in Europe, and or, you know, England, and here and there, and he's retiring everywhere. And it was funny because, you know, I thought that, and then this weekend, so I'd seen the one he did on Raw. And then this weekend on WWE.com, they put up the one that he did like after SmackDown, where he's in there and he gives the same. Actually, this one's like 15-minute long, this long ass speech, and he does his speech, and all these guys come to the ring and everything like that. And then so now I'm watching SmackDown, and essentially I hate to even see this, but I saw my third Edge retirement speech, and at this point I was almost like, okay, I'm sick of you retiring, you know. I felt kind of bad saying that because, I mean, the poor guy and all, but that was literally my third retirement speech in the last, like, 5 days. So I can only imagine.
Well, at least he didn't complain about the fact that after the one on Raw when he's going backstage after they came back from a commercial that he pulled away from Daniel Bryan, his handshake, to go over and give Scott Stanford some love.
Yeah, well, you know, you miss some people when you're in that long line there. But he's going to go and hike, and he's going to go hang out with his dogs, and he's living in Asheville, North Carolina, where there's not much to do. So I think he's going to be gone for a while, but I'm sure they're going to have a role for him at some point. I don't know. I argued this with Todd Martin on one of our other shows this week, but you know, Todd's sure he's coming back for another run at some point, or he's rather confident that he will, and I don't think he's ever going to have a match again.
I think he could do something in one, but I think, you know, by all accounts, he saved his money. He's, you know, what else really could he do anyway? I mean, he's kind of done everything, and I think if he saved his money and everything, again, do you want to be paralyzed for one last, you know, thing? I mean, it could happen, and the fact that it could happen, you know, day, why? He's 37 years old.
Yeah, I never have been a WWE star or anything like that, but when WWE guys retire, you know, they always talk about how, you know, they always come back because they miss that pop. They miss the fans screaming and cheering and that sort of thing. And while I was never in WWE, I did wrestle for a long, long, long time. And as, you know, after 10 years or so, you know, I sit here and I think, you know, you can't get cheered not falling off a ladder. You know what I mean? If you really miss all those cheers, can't you come back in a non-wrestling role and still get a great reaction? I mean, does it have to require getting beat up? I don't think so.
No, and you know what? He already played to 60,000 people. When time comes again where it's 100,000, if Austin and Edge and these guys can actually have one more match, wait till it's bigger than it already is now. It would make more sense to me.
So that is the story of Edge. We'll be taking your email questions on this throughout the show as well, if you have any, and probably talk a little bit more about it as time goes on here, but when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the life of Larry Sweeney, and then later on in this program, we've got the lockdown pay-per-view that we've got to run down the lineup for. It's coming up right after the show goes off the air. So anyway, that is it. We'll be back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. What a day it's been, Mike, and what a week. And got a lot of news to talk about here, and later on there will be even more. The TNA Lockdown pay-per-view takes place tonight. Dave Meltzer and I will be up later on this evening running down that show in detail. All the matches, all of which, I might add, are in cages. And not only that, there are cage matches with stipulations in the cage matches. Can't top that.
No, especially after you've already blown it up on Thursday as far as what the cages are there for. It's to prevent people from going in or out, correct? And they're going to have a match where you can only, it's a manly match where you win the third fall by running away, and you already had a guy jump into the cage on Thursday night, so lockdown.
I did find one thing that's going to make this show even more manageable. And that is that they charge $34.99 for the show. But if you want it in HD, it's $44.95. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay the $34.95 and get it in standard definition. And then with the $10 I save, I'm going to go down and I'm going to buy the Mediterranean pizza at Papa Murphy's.
That actually sounds delicious. Now, are there big chunks of feta cheese and green olives on there?
Oh, yeah. Olive oil. Oh, it's good stuff. It's good eating, as they say.
And you know what? And even though it's a relatively healthy pizza, even if it was not, you deserve that for spending $34.95 so the rest of us do not have to, because we'll be checking out the coverage of you and Dave that come after this show at WrestlingObserver.com.
That's right. That's right. Now, on a sadder note here, I want to make sure we have a chance to talk about Larry Sweeney. We've actually been talking about him all week on WrestlingObserver.com, including a show up there. It's free. It's a free show with Chris Hero talking his memories of Sweeney. They were Larry managed him in Ring of Honor as part of Sweet and Sour Incorporated, as well as a number of other people. And I don't know. What is there to say about Larry Sweeney? He was a throwback to the great managers of the 70s and 80s, a a true, hate to use this term, but it is true, more so now than ever, a dying art. You know, the art of the manager. You know, nowadays when people think of a manager, it's like Ranjin Singh, for example. You know, and I argued for a long time. It was like, you know, Ranjin Singh is a member of the creative team. You know, whatever. I don't have anything against the guy or anything like that. But when Great Khali was actually getting a push, not like nowadays when he's a dancing fool, but when they were actually trying to make him into a monster, and if you recall, he had a short run as champion. I mean, there was no better man literally on the earth to manage this guy than Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney. And it sadly never happened, and I still hold a grudge about that to this day, quite frankly. Larry was so great. You know, he was a wrestler as well. I had three matches with him over his famed ICW, ICWA, Texarkana Television Championship, which he held almost as many times as Jerry Lawler held some version of the USWA title. You know, good worker. I think that he felt he was not a worker the level of the guys at ROH. You know, he was a guy that one of the reasons I had so much fun wrestling with him was because we had a very similar style of wrestling and a very similar, well, I guess what would be the term. We like the same things in our professional wrestling. For example, you know, if I were given the option, and this is nothing against Austin Aries, I'm just throwing out a name. If I had a chance to have a match with Austin Aries, or I had a chance to have a match with Dave Taylor, quite frankly, I think I would choose Dave Taylor. You know, if I had the opportunity to wrestle one of the high level ROH guys, or I had a chance to wrestle, you know, a guy straight out of the 80s. I choose the guy out of the 80s. It's the style I loved, style I was taught, style I wrestled most of my career. And Larry was the same way. You know, if he had the opportunity to wrestle, for example, the Honky Tonk Man, would have been a dream come true for him to be able to wrestle the Honky Tonk Man. Or Jerry the King Lawler. You know, if he had the opportunity to have a match with the King, would have been just like a dream come true. So we were on the same page in that aspect, and we had matches similar to that. He was an old school 80s wacky heel, and I was kind of an 80s style babyface with granted a much worse hairdo, but they were fun matches. And it's for those of you that don't know the story of Larry, he had a lot of problems. Essentially he needed some medication for his mental issues, and he went off the medication. And once he went off the medication, voluntarily, he thought he did not need it anymore, I guess. And things spiraled out of control. This was near the end of his ROH period. The peak of it, really, at least for me, was WrestleMania in Houston, when he had just been released from ROH, and he flew himself down there to show everybody that he was fine. And unfortunately, he was very not fine. I can't even explain the outfit that he was wearing that weekend. You know, he was a legitimate carny. He had worked as a carny. He was a nomad. You know, he would sleep anywhere. He just lived that kind of lifestyle, that gypsy lifestyle. He looked legitimately like a gypsy down there in Houston, and he wrestled fans on the lawn. I mean, it was a bad time, and I had friends down there, and they got to meet Larry for the first time, and it was kind of one of those deals where, you know, they met him, and still a nice guy, just completely, completely wild. And, you know, after he was gone, they would just kind of look at each other and look at me like, oh my God, what is wrong with that guy? And unfortunately, there was a lot wrong with him, and, you know, I didn't talk to him a lot of late, but, and a lot of people also hadn't as well, and he would get in touch with people every now and then and say that he was back on track and things were good, but, you know, then we'd get calls from other people that would say, you know, don't listen to him, things really are not good right now. And last Sunday night, actually, I guess he committed suicide at a wrestling school. I believe down in Louisiana. The last Facebook message that I got from him was from him saying that he was legitimately down working the loop in Texarkana for the first time. It had always been his gimmick, and for the first time in his life, he was actually down there doing that. And that was the end. And very sad. Some great tributes by ROH or some videos up on the front page that we put up there. You might have to go into the archives to find them, but they are definitely up there. Or you can go to the Ring of Honor website. They did a real tremendous job on these hype videos. And it was a sad day. Sad week. Really sad week.
You know, the cruelest parts about being bipolar and a couple people that are in different stages, but when you're at your highest highs, you can't, no one can tell you anything. When you're at your lowest lows, no one can tell you anything, and you do things that you just, and one of the wackier Larry stories I had heard from more than a couple of months ago now, but I believe it was towards the end of summer last year where, on the streets of Chicago, see a guy out there, a homeless guy with no shoes on, and gets a little bit closer, and the guy's got a Ribera Steakhouse jacket on, and it's Larry Sweeney. And, it incredibly tragic. Tragic professionally because that was a guy that, again, like you said, he was not a big guy. I mean, he was okay in the ring, but he's, competing against the Davey Richards and Claudios and Heroes and guys like that who are, up those notches on the indie scene. I mean, he couldn't compete with that, but he could compete with his mouth. He could compete with his look. He looked like a cartoon character and knew how to do it because he loved 80s wrestling. I mean, I know people are probably hearing that the whole young Bobby Heenan thing and are thinking, oh, God, they're beating this to death. It's true. He was actually the young Bobby Heenan, as close as you could possibly get, and took a lot of pride in it, and was really, really awesome at it. And it's a shame that that had to happen, and it's a shame that he had this sickness that just, unfortunately put him in this position.
It's kind of, I don't know, because I was not one of his closest friends or anything like that, but he was kind of the sort of guy that, when you mention homeless on the streets of Chicago, it's not like there's nobody in the business in Chicago. And it's not like he didn't have friends all over the place. And it's not like, I really feel that, kind of feel that, like, not that he wanted to be homeless, but this was like something that he was, I don't know if okay experiencing is the right kind of term, but he was like the kind of guy where, I think if he would have grown old, he would have enjoyed telling his children about the time that he spent living on the streets of Chicago with no shoes on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like it's an Ikea type where he could just sit there and tell stories.
Yeah.
And wherever he was at, he'd be fine. I mean, he lived in India. He acted as a carny. I mean, he had no problem wherever he landed and laid his hat, he was cool.
Yeah, he would say, where are you staying tonight? I don't know, it'll be fine. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. That's always kind of what he said, so... Yeah, it really depressing, but at least, there's a lot of great Larry stuff on DVD. I mean, just look around a little bit and look on YouTube in particular, and I'll never forget.
Arm Wrestling the Kid for Chikara. That's always a good one for put in Larry Sweeney in arm wrestling.
Or put in Larry Sweeney promo, and you can spend an afternoon just watching fantastic promos. I've seen a lot of guys, I've mentioned this before, I've seen plenty of guys in wrestling schools, and you ask them about their favorite wrestlers or their earliest memories, and they'll talk about all these guys they loved watching, and they watched such and such a match a million times, and they loved this guy or this guy, and then you tell them to do a headlock takeover, and they have absolutely no idea, and you sit there and you think, all this wrestling that you said you loved, did you actually watch that wrestling? Did you really pay attention to what you were watching? Because, from seeing you attempt to recreate it, it's like you've never watched a wrestling match in your entire life. Not Larry! I mean, it was pretty clear. Larry loved Roddy Piper. Larry loved Ric Flair. Larry loved these guys, and it came out in his promos. He could recreate the things that he loved, and he was really ridiculously good at it in a really short period of time. So check it out on YouTube, everybody, and we'll probably talk more about him as the months and years go by. We'll be back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour and a half talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. For the latest news and info on pro wrestling and MMA, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily news updates, TV show reviews, columns, and a bunch of radio shows. If you enjoy this program, and it's the only one you get to hear every week, well, first off, it sucks to be you. Second, you can remedy that problem for only $10.99. You sign up for the website. We do daily radio shows. In fact, several times daily. This past Thursday, I did three shows in a single day. That's just on one day. Some of the biggest news, some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling, the Steve Austins,
Bruno,
Chris Jericho, Sean Waltman was on this week, Bryan Danielson. Just the list goes on and on. They're all in the archives right now. Thousands and thousands of shows, probably tens of thousands of hours of audio are up there in the archives right now. You'll never run out if you sign up today. Every show we've done since 2005, and keep in mind, 10 to 15, 20 shows a week, multiply that by 52 weeks, multiply that by almost 7 years now, and that tells you how many shows are in the archives. So all you do is you sign up, you sign in, you go to the archives, and you download everything you want. If you've got a long commute, if you're going to be taking a trip, perhaps to the moon and back, for example, no matter what you've got to do that you want to listen to audio while you're doing it, this is the place to go to get your wrestling and mixed martial arts audio. WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go. If you like this show, well, sign up and you'll have more of this show than you'll ever know what to do with. Now, Mike, got to talk about the Lockdown pay-per-view this afternoon from TNA. Going to be quite the event here. The two biggest buy rates that TNA has ever done have been Lockdown events. Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle several years ago drew 60,000 pay-per-view buys for TNA. At which point, after doing such a successful job building that match up, they went back to doing comedy and wackiness and such, and did not hit that peak again anytime in the foreseeable future. I believe they've hit 60,000 buys two times. I believe they were both actually for Angle and Joe. But regardless, this show is not going to do 60,000 buys. Will it do 15? It might. I'd say 15 is probably a solid bet. Maybe as high as 17. Wouldn't expect a whole lot more than that. And a cursory look at this show, Mike. Are you excited for this particular pay-per-view?
No. I'm not, because I won't get what I really want out of TNA programming, which is the glow Tina Ferrari, who later on went on to be Ivory, type of ending when she was being hypnotized and working for the evil forces in glow, and they had her do all sorts of front roles and tricks and things like that, but then she busted out of the spell and ended up helping the good side win, as should have happened in glow, and I'm waiting for that to happen with Winter and with Angelina Love. So until that happens, there's nothing TNA that could do right now that would make me more interested than that.
Let's look at this pay-per-view. We've got plenty of time to do so. The Lockdown poster, actually, it's a picture of Mr. Anderson, but at first glance, it looks exactly like a picture of John Cena. That caught me off guard. The Lockdown show today, Mr. Anderson is in the main event.
Acting like Stone Cold.
Well, yeah, of course. That's nothing new. It's going to be Mr. Anderson, Rob Van Dam, and Sting in a three-way cage match for the TNA title. Sting is, he's put a lot of pressure on himself because, of course, his last main event was against Jeff Hardy in that debacle where Jeff Hardy showed up in no condition to perform. And, by the way, in a Jeff Hardy update, he is now teasing that he may retire from professional wrestling. Indeed. But, yeah, that's the main event of this show. I don't know. I've seen a lot of Mr. Anderson, Rob Van Dam matches in the last couple months, and they've been pretty bad, and I think that's being nice about it. So the idea of those two men and Sting, who is 52 years old and you know, he's real banged up, bad shoulder, bad knees, I believe, just in real rough shape. Those three guys in a cage match together in the main event, it's going to be better than last month, but I don't know how much better.
Yeah, it'll be better than last month, but it's not, it's nothing wrong with any of the guys. It's just that they work completely different than each other, and for you know, and so we've already seen them bump around against each other and it not look good. So you put all three together at the same time, I don't think it's going to be any better. And I don't think Anderson's going to win because it continues on with him getting screwed by the system, I would assume. And I don't think it goes back on RVD. So I'm picking Sting. Don't know why. We'll have to see if they can pull rabbits out of their hats. But it's just, unless it's a full brawl where they're not doing a whole lot, I mean, again, RVD looks good against certain guys. Sting and Anderson are not those guys. And same thing with Anderson with those two and Sting with the other two.
Anderson and RVD to me are just on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is like Ricky Steamboat Smooth or Shawn Michaels, and 0 is I don't know, a block of wood. I would think that they'd be down around a 2. I find them to be very, you know, they're flat-footed, they're slow, just very clunky. You know, RVD is athletic, but he's unorthodox,
he's got that, it's the RVD match.
Yeah, and two guys, I mean, it's one thing if you've got, like, a clunky guy and, like, a good worker, but, I mean, you put two clunky guys in there together with each other, and it's not like it's going to equal not clunky. It's going to be even clunkier. Add Sting to that, and you know, I don't think he could do all right with one in his prime, but with two not in his prime, I don't know.
Yeah, not really. It's I don't know. It's and this is the match that probably could use, if there was going to be gimmickry inside the steel cage, this would have been the one that deserved it more than like Jarrett and Angle, who are getting that. And it really didn't need it, even though they've ground this thing, you know, they just completely have kind of put the feud into the ground for, you know, all of the entertaining parts that have been a part of it. It's just, you know, it's almost painful here at the end.
We've got Jared and Kurt Angle in a Ultra Male Rules 2 out of 3 steel cage match. Got all that, everybody? Fall 1 is pinfalls only. Fall 2 is submission. And fall 3 is flea!
Ultra male!
Yeah, ultra male. So anyway, this, you know, if they just let him have a match, I'm sure it would be really good. And actually, probably, this is probably going to be the best match on the show. These aren't stipulations that are going to kill the match. They're just kind of wacky that, you know, your ultra male fleas at the end. You know, pinfalls only should be good. Submission only should be good. You know, maybe they'll try and do a swerve where somehow, like, Angle gets the pin and Jarrett gets the submission because of some sort of goofiness or whatever. You know, I always think, what is the opposite of what would make sense? And then they'll do that. But if they do it the way one would expect, you know, somehow Jarrett wins the first fall, somehow Angle wins the second, and then I would guess Angle escapes the cage to win or something. I don't know. I hope the wrestling is good. That's really all I can say at this point.
That's the thing. Even two straight awesome falls would be fine with me. They don't even get to the third one. I just think it will end with Jarrett winning, but it's going to be the other thing, TNA, and what all wrestling does too, the rehash of, you know, there's only so many ways now out of the cage. We've seen people thrown through the ring, thrown through the cage, you know, ties over the top and through the door. So it's going to be a rehash of something. I just don't know what it is yet, but, you know, I think Jarrett gets the win, actually, believe it or not.
It's possible.
Because what else? I mean, they're good. Obviously, one of the two should be in the title picture or something like that. I don't know if Kurt Angle from something off a show last year can't do it or something like that. Who knows? But I don't know. I just, those two, and I'm fine actually with them with each other as long as it's not so much bad acting where they run it into the ground. I would still rather see those two continue on, even though one of the two should be in the title chase.
So we've got Madison Rayne and Mickie James in a steel cage match for the title, the TNA Women's title, championship versus hair. Mickie James putting her hair on the line. And for those of you that think I never have anything positive to say about TNA, Mickie James' promo on Impact on Thursday was by far the best thing on the show. It was awesome. And will that lead to a good match? Well, I don't know. This could be all right. Madison Rayne is not the best worker I've ever seen. You know, she's not horrible. There are a lot of girls worse than she is. But I don't see this as being like a Mickie James versus Tara type affair. I'm sure Mickie James is winning the championship. I suppose they might do a head shaving, but, you know, Mickie's trying to make it as a country singer, and I don't see her going bald. But who knows? Hopefully it's all right.
Yeah, I will second that thought. And, yeah, I think Mickie James wins. Some sort of somebody screwing up Rayne there at the end so she can get her comeuppance of being the queen for all of this time. So, yeah.
We've got Immortal versus Fortune. Ric Flair is actually wrestling at 61 with a torn rotator cuff. Actually, this might be 62, but regardless. Flair, Abyss, Bully Ray, and Matt Hardy are facing James Storm, Kazarian, Robert Roode, and Christopher Daniels. It is a lethal lockdown match. That means basically war games. And then when everyone's in, the ceiling drops and there's gimmicks and weapons and that sort of thing for them to hit each other with. It's, a convoluted war games. One ring. And amazingly, at least Vince Russo has finally figured out that the heels should always have the advantage in one of these matches. We saw several lockdowns where the babyface team had the advantage, which is always stupid. So the heels will have the advantage here, and my guess would be that Chris Daniels turns heel. As soon as he came back, I just knew that was what was going to happen. So that would be my guess, and the heels win, and then we've got AJ versus Daniels at some point, which should at least be a good match. So, yeah, that's the battle here.
Yeah, especially because they have pointed out that, you know, who is that guy? Well, it's AJ Styles' best friend. They were sure to note that. So, of course, that could always end up meaning nothing, too, but I'm with you. And, yes, it is 62 years old, born February 25th, 1949, Ric Flair.
1949. Matt Morgan and Hernandez in a cage match. I can't believe I am still watching this feud.
It's just complete apathy here. Hopefully they're done with this because, you know. And again, I don't know what either one of these two guys do either. Because I'm not sure who I really want to see Matt Morgan facing off with. Or Hernandez, really, for that matter, either. But especially not Morgan. So, I don't know. There's something about them working with each other where maybe it could be like Tyler Rex and Chris Masters. You just somehow they have some sort of all internet. Is Explosion still around? They can continue to feud with each other just away from pay-per-view.
British Invasion, Douglas Williams and Bruce Magnus against Crimson and Scott Steiner. By the way, remember when Crimson was Red's brother?
Yes.
That didn't last long. Eric Young and Orlando Jordan and Inc. in a four-way tornado tag team style cage match. Could be all right. You know, Douglas Williams is a good worker. Jesse Neal and Shannon Moore, I think, are pretty good. Not sold on Orlando Jordan. Eric Young's doing nothing but comedy. Steiner is old, but he can still do his spots. Crimson, unproven. But I think they'll work very hard. I think there'll be a lot of wackiness. And, you know, unless it goes too long, I think it should at least be fun.
I guess. It could also be a complete cluster poop, too. But I'm hoping for the British Invasion. Let's see. Who holds the belts right now?
Actually, hold that thought. Oh. We're going to finish up with that particular match and the final match to talk about when we come back from break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are talking about the TNA Lockdown pay-per-view, which takes place moments after this show goes off the air. And, Mike, we were talking about the four-way tornado tag team steel cage match in a steel cage. And you were talking about championships?
Yeah, who's got them? Beer Money?
I think.
Let's see. So who should face Beer Money next? I hope it's the British Invasion, but, oh, I don't know. You know what? Eric Young and Orlando Jordan. I'm going that way.
That's who's going to win this match?
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you.
Hey, it's just like picking the escape match with 75 guys in there. I have no idea who's going to win that.
Well, since we only got a couple of moments left here on the program, let's find out who the TNA Tag Team Champions actually are. I'm pretty sure it is. Pretty sure it is Beer Money.
Yeah. Yeah, my guess for that is because it can't be the Machine Guns. So
all right,
it's got to be
here.
One of the
other. Hold on. We got a very brief period of time, so you've got 1 minute. I'm going to quiz you. Ready?
Okay.
TNA Champion.
Sting.
TNA TV Champion.
He holds it in his mouth. Gunner.
Gunner. Tag Team Champions.
I think Beer Money?
Yes. X Division Champion.
No clue. Robbie E?
Kazarian. Knockouts Champion.
Madison.
And the Tag Team Knockouts Champions.
Ayako Hamada and Yumi Kurihara.
Aunt Sarita and Rosita are your answer.
Oh, by the way, the guy that's with them is in the pre-show match against Brother Devon, also in a cage.
The guy that's with them.
That's who. What is his name?
Anarchia.
Yes. Lowrider.
You know, these are supposed to be wrestling promotions, and their job of promotion is horrible! Based on this match, this game we just played. All right, everybody, we're going to head to our hourly break. When we come back, more fun and games, including the match we haven't talked about yet for lockdown. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as I am every week by Mike Sempervivi. Of the Adam and Mike That's like one of those, you seen those like news reporters that are talking and they start just talking in gibberish?
Yeah, just like stroking out.
That's just what, I don't know if that's the proper term to use, Mike.
Speaking in tongues, sorry.
Not politically correct right there. But regardless, I just did that, everybody, and I apologize for that. But again, this is Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Mike Sempervivi is my co-host, and our website is Wrestling Observer Live. And now that I've wasted 45 seconds with that introduction, that leaves us with a little over, I can't do math very well, but a little over a minute to play this game with Mike. Very similar to the game we played before the top of the hour break. Mike, are you ready for the WWE Championship game?
Yes.
You got a minute. Here we go. WWE Champion.
Miz.
United States Champion.
Sheamus.
World Heavyweight Champion.
Vacant.
Intercontinental Champion.
Barrett.
Very good. Tag Team Champion.
Slater and Gabriel, because it can't be Santino or Kozlov.
And the Divas Championship.
It was... Eve lost it. It's one of the Bellas. Both of the Bellas.
Very good, Mike.
Jesus.
I'm proud of you. That was a heck of a job right there, quite frankly.
I can't believe I actually named them all. Though it helped that I saw Sheamus at the Irish talk show.
I'll humiliate you.
I watched the show.
I'll humiliate now. You ready?
Yes.
Executive Vice President, Consumer Products.
Not a Goldsmith anymore.
Exactly.
I'm not sure.
Jim Connolly.
That's...
Chief Financial Officer.
Basil DeVito.
George Barrios.
Ah.
You've just been shot down here. Creative Development and Operations.
I don't know.
Stephanie!
Oh, well, that's... God.
Chairman of the Board.
What's Triple H's new role's name?
Chairman of the Board.
Vince.
Carrot Top.
Oh, Linda.
Carrot Top. We'll be back in a second, everybody. Wrestling God. Observer Live, Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on a exciting edition of Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Getting the show back on track, everybody, with the TNA lockdown lineup. This show goes on the air moments after we go off the air. So how convenient is that? The only match we have not talked about today, and if you missed the first part of it, I apologize, but that was an hour one. This is a two-hour show every week. 3 to 5 Pacific, that would be 6 to 8 Eastern, if I recall correctly.
Yes,
and lockdown, the final match we haven't talked about yet. Red, who is the brother of Crimson, I am told. Brian Kendrick, Chris Sabin, Jay Lethal, Jeremy Buck, Max Buck, Robbie E, and Suicide in an Escape the Cage X Division match. This is going to be opening up the pay-per-view. They're starting off with a bang. What do you think about this one?
Well, they should. You should have this match start off the show. Although, again, it'll say something about TNA's promotion in the fact that it's not the only match we haven't talked about, because Samoa Joe and the Pope, we haven't talked about either.
Oh, yeah. How did I miss that?
But, this is just, it's a lot of wackiness and flippy doos and cool stuff happening in the cage, and it's, you know, going to be, it's a good, exciting way to open the show. So, again, I have no clue who is going to win. It doesn't really matter who's going to win this either. I guess they would get possibly a X Division title shot against Frankie Kazarian if he's not all sorts of tied up with Immortals. So, well, I don't know. There you go. I guess, you know what, and I guess if he does, Kazarian does have the X Division title, until you get that Daniels-AJ match, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea if Daniels does go heel tonight to have him face off against Kazarian. So I have no idea who's going to win this, so I will say Chris Sabin.
All right, that's not a bad pick. I will pick the winner of this match is Jay Lethal.
That would be the most entertaining if they're going to do something going forward with the guy talking.
Yeah.
Like that.
But I don't look at what they're going to do going forward. Come on,
no.
Mike. I only look at right now. No one knows what they're doing going forward, including them. Joe and D'Angelo De Niro in a steel cage match. You know what they could have done here, which unfortunately they didn't, because as creative as Vince Russo supposedly is, he's not nearly as creative as I am. This should have been a Kennel from Hell match. And all those dogs, remember the dogs?
That's right. He was going to have his own,
D'Angelo De Niro had something involving a kennel, if I recall correctly. Something with dogs, like he had his own dog fighting sort of
Michael
league.
Michael Vick-like.
Yeah, remember that? And they just totally dropped that storyline. They should have brought the dogs back here and had a Kennel from Hell match here on this lockdown show.
And why not? It worked so well the first time with the Big Boss Man and
sure.
Al Snow after Al was fed pepper.
Yeah, it was a great, great match there in WWE. Actually, it was horrible, which actually should tell you why I'm surprised that they didn't do it here in TNA.
Well, with the way that what they've done with this feud, which actually, you know, had some oomph behind it there for a little bit until around the time that Pope knocked out Okada's teeth and was able to string him up in the back during a commercial break, and there was no possible way for anyone to get back there to him. I don't know where security was. It seemed to be from that point on it, Shark jumped.
You mean Okato?
Okato, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very witty. He didn't even want to bother to go ahead with anything with the old Green Lantern thing. He was a driver for a bit, he took some pictures, and then he got beat up.
And by the way, there is an Anarchia versus Brother Devon steel cage match, which is in the pre-show, which you can see free on the Barker channel, I believe they call it. Just basically go to the pay-per-view channel a half hour before the pay-per-view schedule is started. You, too, can see this match for free, and they'll plug the rest of the show as well. So that's Lockdown, everybody. Coming up...
That would be the match I'd put on there to make people want to order.
Sure. Yeah, actually, I would only make fun because I'm a big fan of Brother Devon. Haven't seen much of El Anarquia, but I think Brother Devon is a pretty solid little grappler right there, if I do say
well,
so
if
myself.
Well, Sarita and Rosalita, whatever her name is, are dancing alongside the man, it may not be a bad idea.
Rosalita, you say?
Or whatever her name is. What is her name?
Rosita.
Rosita, that's it. Rosita and Dark Angel.
And Sarita, yes. The Mexican-Americans, the name of the team. Speaking of creative. All right, did you see Impact this past Thursday?
I kind of drifted on and off of it, yes, but I did indeed.
I thought a poor final build towards Lockdown.
I would say so, which is, you know, again, I don't know if it's more than two in a row, but this still isn't as bad as going into the last pay-per-view, but it's still pretty bad. Just from the TV I've seen, and I've been a little bit behind on it, but just chugging along to the next pay-per-view. Here we go.
Let's do some of the email questions here for a bit. We've got a number of them. Fred here says, is there a reason Hogan was such an ass over the Edge response? For those of you that don't know this story, Hogan was asked a question on his Twitter, his thoughts on Edge retiring, and he had a couple of responses that his first response was something like, you know, something to the effect of, you know, if Edge were tough, he'd keep going, we're all hurt, this and that. And then, you know, he got a lot of flack over that, so then he kind of apologized and talked about how much Edge was the man and that sort of thing. And you gotta remember with a guy like Hogan, you know, he's not on the internet all the time, and he's not really up to speed with a lot of stuff that's going on. And I think I'm defending Hogan here. You know, Hogan, I think this tweet occurred on Monday night, like moments after Edge had retired. And I suspect Hogan was not watching Raw. You know, I suspect that somebody probably texted him that Edge retired, or maybe he heard something from Jimmy Hart, you know, and maybe he just, you know, got the tweets about it and knew nothing about what was going on, you know, and he probably had no idea the severity of the injury. He probably had no idea how serious it actually was. He probably had no idea what the doctor said or what Edge had talked about with the doctor saying. You know, I don't blame Hulk for this. You know, when I read his tweet, yes, he came off rather poorly, but I don't think he came off poorly in you know, some people are mean-spirited or you know, whatever the case might be. I don't see anything like that at all. I think he didn't know what was going on. That was his first response. He didn't know the severity of the injury. He didn't mean for it to come off the way that it did. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Hogan's tweet, having not spoken to Hulk Hogan about any of this, mind you.
Well, and if it's not the case, and he was being snarky, and then decided to pull back from it when there was a little bit of a backlash, if that's the case, then, well, you know, you look at that and you go, well, at least his back isn't that torn up where he can barely move and he's jostling about with midgets.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know. Edge and Hogan, I think Hogan really does really like Edge. You know, they were
tag team champions. Yeah, based off the fact that Edge was one of his childhood heroes.
Yeah, they were tag team champions, and Edge, you know, Edge loved Hulk Hogan. You know, it was a Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior match at Mania 6 that Edge was there in the front row, all excited and wanting to get in this business. And I'm sure he told Hogan over and over how much he loved him and how great he was. And I'm sure that Hogan really, really likes Edge. So I'm quite confident that, you know, that Hogan was not meaning anything that some people may be reading into this. I can't even tell you. I don't even know why this is. Maybe it's just because, you know, there's a TNA pay-per-view today. But
what?
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 presumably different people all emailing asking, when is Nigel McGuinness coming back to television, and what did he do?
It's like The Rock winning the title question for this week.
I don't have any idea. And I can tell you from, I know some good friends of Desmond Wolfe, and they don't seem to have any idea either. And I've heard a lot of different stories. You know, I've had some people tell me it's a medical issue. I've had other people tell me, believe me, it's not a medical issue at all. It's a political issue. And someone's got to be wrong, and I don't know who it is, so I do not have any idea. And I know close friends of Desmond that they don't have any idea either. I've had close friends of Desmond ask me, hoping that I had an idea, and I don't have an idea. So I don't know, and I guess the number of people that do know is a very small number.
That's the thing. It seems to be very minuscule because nobody really has either knows what's going on or has got, like, you know, there's no path to the stories matching up.
We'll be back in just a moment with more questions. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here for the next half hour, 40 minutes, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We're taking your email questions right now. We'll talk more news as the show goes on. Don't forget, Lockdown is coming up immediately after the show goes off the air. And I'm buying the show, so hopefully it's a good one. And if you're not buying the show, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer will be doing live running play-by-play on the front page of the website, hopefully. If not, I'll be doing it. But there will be live running play-by-play on the front page of the site, so check it out. And then later on this evening, Dave and I are going to be up with a brand new radio show exclusively for members of WrestlingObserver.com, talking the results of this show, all of the news, whatever angles they may shoot, of which I'm sure there will be in abundance. That's coming up tonight at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, this question here. Do you think John Morrison would be better off if he dumped Melina? As the recent Trish stuff shows, she's done nothing but mess up his career.
Well, I think it would be good advice for anyone inside professional wrestling, for the most part, depending on what point they are in their careers, but usually at any point that in their careers, to not even have a significant other of note. It seems to be, always be the best bet for a variety of issues in professional wrestling / sports entertainment. With that said, you know, no, if that's his woman and that's the way it is, then no. I mean, then wrestling shouldn't get in the way. But with that said, because of some of the issues that have happened, you cannot be surprised if, you know, professionally you don't advance because of those reasons.
Well, I'll just say this. If you love the girl, great. I'm not going to tell anybody that they should break up with anybody or anything like that. Maybe she's just, you know, the most wonderful significant other a person could possibly have, other than my wife, of course. But with that said, I can tell you for a fact that this is hurting his career. So however he wants to handle the situation is up to him, you know?
He can. Well, I mean, again, not the only one, too. I mean, you think about Cody Rhodes right now, and maybe he's going to be in the spot he's at for, you know, a variety of reasons, but Christian getting hurt and Drew McIntyre basically imploding kind of opened the door on SmackDown for Cody Rhodes to kind of get more of an increased role. And look at the situation with Drew McIntyre and Tiffany and just Drew McIntyre in general in sort of the same way. Again, yeah, it's just, no, from a professional point of view, especially the way, and you can say, an outsider can say what they want about it, that's just the way it is. And because of that being the way it is, hey, you have to take what comes with it professionally, and if you're fine with where you're at because of it, that's okay.
It all depends on the relationship, you know? I'm not here to give love advice or anything like that, but, you know, if you can have a relationship with somebody in wrestling, and you guys get along great, and there aren't jealousy issues, which come up a lot in wrestling, and there's no drama, then you're fine. The problem is when you get into a relationship with wrestling, with someone in wrestling, and then all of a sudden there is either the jealousy or the drama, or whether the significant other is a male or a female doesn't matter. But if that person just goes nuts, then it's a problem. You know, Tiffany and Drew would not have been any problem whatsoever if she hadn't been so loud and vocal and going on Twitter and doing all this stuff. And the same with Melina and Morrison. You know, if they had their problems, whatever they might be, whether they're with each other or they're together and problems occur, you know, and water under the bridge, or you kept it quiet and nobody had to hear about it, it'd probably be okay, right? But when you let this drama, when you let the world know about your drama on Twitter or on Facebook, or whatever the case might be, or just in a public place, you know, or you get arrested because of the drama, you know, problems begin. And that's the issue here. I mean, you know, Trish Stratus did an interview, and she talked about how John Morrison gave her the cold shoulder, and I guess it was because Melina didn't end up on WrestleMania, and Melina's Morrison's significant other, and they took it out on Trish, which you know, is ridiculously stupid. But if you let the drama get to that point, then you're in big trouble. That's just the way it is. You know, there are people, believe it or not, I know this is hard to believe, but there are people in wrestling that have relationships with others in wrestling, and everything is great. It's a low number sometimes, but it does happen. So, you know, there's the problem is not a relationship with somebody in wrestling. It's what that relationship becomes. And the problem is that a lot of people that get into wrestling, they either are paranoid or they get paranoid. And there's always going to be drama. And when you let that stuff come out, there's going to be trouble. And that's what's happened here. So however Morrison wants to handle that, that's his own business. But I'm telling you, he was supposed to be in the main event of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. He was supposed to be in there with Miz and with John Cena. And because of what happened, he's not. And R-Truth got that spot. So if you're John Morrison and you're fine with that, then great. You know? Go on Twitter all you want and be wacky.
And throw out the fact that it just... Yeah, dumb all the way around. But then, you know, if it's a complaint over Melina not being in the match, well, you know, I think we had talked about it. We were looking at, you know, different matchups. It was probably going to be Dolph and Laycool against Morrison, Trish, and Kelly. So, you know, what would the excuse have been there? Would he still give him the cold shoulder? I mean, Melina wasn't even supposed to be in that match there. So just absolutely mind-numbingly, amazingly stupid. With that said, I don't think, you know, R-Truth in the main event of the pay-per-view, even though you had to punish Morrison, was the way to go, but that's just me.
What would you have done?
I actually would have just went with Dolph. I think it would have made the most sense to have him in there.
Hmm. I just, I don't know.
Well, because you look at it, it's like, okay, you need, if you got... They screwed up with Cena in a lot of ways, so incredibly badly, and continue to do so. But they always, you know, just pile on to make it worse instead of trying to dig themselves back out of it in any possible way. You know, you at least would have had a chance with Vicky out there for, you know, to stem a little bit of Miz getting the cheers over Cena and Cena being so hideously booed by most, you know, the most vocal part of the fan base, that you could have had at least Dolph and Vicky in there, plus, you know, Dolph, even though Vicky has been terrible on the mic, you know, she at least still gets a response. He's the best wrestler of the bunch. It makes the most sense with they need to build guys for the future. They can do that with Dolph. And, you know, if it wasn't going to be Morrison, why is it R-Truth?
Yeah, but here's the problem with your theory here. They're not actually building anyone for the future with this match.
That's true.
It's still Miz and Morrison. But in order to not do, or I'm sorry, Miz and Cena, but in order to not just do that match again, they're adding a guy who's going to do a job because they don't want Miz to do a job because they think that they're pushing him as this big star and they don't want Cena to do a job, obviously. And so there's a guy in there who's going to do a job and everybody knows that. So that's my big problem with the match. You know?
But still, then in that case, still R-Truth is your fallback plan to go to. And again, nothing against Ron Killings at all. I really like him, but that's you could have put anyone in there.
Yeah, but maybe that's the idea is maybe they do want to elevate Dolph, but this certainly is not the way to do it. So you hold off Dolph to a point where he's not just in there as the fall guy.
Well, and yeah, and that makes sense. And but still, okay, so Dolph beats Randy Orton. He loses to whoever's next. I guess it was Wood Morrison. And then R-Truth? Of all the guys, I mean, the brand extension doesn't mean all of that stuff. I mean, but I just, again, R-Truth is the guy you put in there to go, okay, you've seen this match a million times. We've added a guy. We're making you pay for R-Truth. Again, nothing against him, but how does it make any sense for anybody?
Well, presumably there's going to be...
Unless there's spring cleaning coming after this, and it's like, well, okay, we gave R-Truth one more huge pay-per-view before he's gone, but I don't think that'll happen.
Actually, as I really think about this upcoming pay-per-view, sorry to get off subject of emails here, but... Okay, let me think about this. You've got Miz, Cena, and Truth in the main event of the show for the title, in whatever their match is going to be. And you've also, for the other title, got Alberto Del Rio versus Christian. And God bless Christian. I think he's great. But if you look at how Christian has been pushed of late and such, I mean, neither of those are big pay-per-view selling matches to me. They're coming on the same weekend as UFC in Toronto with George St. Pierre and Jake Shields. This could do... I don't know if it'll do the all-time low of the modern era, but I can't see this doing more than like 85,000 buys in the U.S.
It wouldn't stun me.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, what do you add to it? What could they possibly do? I mean, we're questioning what they're going to do going into WrestleMania before everything kind of, you know, calmed down and we saw what it was going to be. So, yeah, I can't imagine for this show when, again, if they don't even know what they're doing on TV, they're not even looking a month ahead of time, and it's just a big old fat mess.
Somebody here asked what the plans were before the retirement for Edge and Del Rio and Christian. And problem with plans is that they don't have a lot of them. That's one of the big problems with WWE nowadays is they're doing a lot of week-to-week booking. And my guess, I don't know this for sure, but my guess is that they were probably going to do a three-way ladder match at the pay-per-view with those guys. Edge, Christian, and Del Rio in a ladder match for the title. I'm pretty confident that's the way that they were going there. So, you know, the only other match they've announced thus far is Lawler and Ross versus Cole and Swagger, which really at this point is probably the main event of the show, and that's kind of scary.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Especially when Ross is like, he's made it very clear in his blog, he's dreading this match.
It does say something, too, about, you know, one thing they absolutely hate is not having announcers, you know, on matches. They need to have them on there. And what do? They have the 61-year-old, the non-wrestler, Jack Swagger, and the announcer who they keep embarrassing, have a match with no announcers. And it gets itself over so much more than fine, it's ridiculous. In fact, it's scary.
Actually, there was. Josh was there. He was supposed to be announcing, but he didn't say anything on Raw.
Didn't have to.
Yeah, that's true. All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break here. We'll come back with more emails and more news. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the world-famous Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 20 minutes talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. For the latest news and info in pro wrestling and MMA, always head to WrestlingObserver.com. That is our website, daily news updates. We've got play-by-play of the TNA pay-per-view coming up after this show goes off the air. We'll have a new radio show tonight talking about that show exclusively for members of the website. And if you do sign up, it's only $10.99 a month. You get full access not only to all of the new shows we do every week, and we do 15 to 20 every single week, but you get full access to our entire archive. Every single show we have ever done, dating back to 2005, is available on the website right now for subscribers. So you'll never run out of audio content. And if you sign up today for your $10.95, it's basically like you signed up 5 years ago, because you have full access to everything we've ever done. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. More audio than you can shake an audio stick at. And Mike, Chikara, King of Trios, going on as we speak. What's the update?
That is true. They've gone into tonight's third and final show with the finalists for King of Trios being Fist, Johnny Gargano, Chuck Taylor, and Icarus, the Assyrian Portal, the Colony, and the representation of Mikanoshu Pro, which is Dick Togo, Jinsei Shinzaki, who many of you will remember as Hakushi, and the great Sasuke, who got my moment of zen from the weekend on Friday night when I got a chance to see the great Sasuke go one-on-one in an interview with Dr. Keith Lipinski, and it was quite the epic moment. And it's always been one of the biggest independent shows of the year anyway, as far as the people they bring in and the wackiness that's a part of the whole thing. Drew apparently over 700 people legit yesterday to Philadelphia, so I'm sure it's going to be about the same tonight as well. And just, you know, pure wackiness going on throughout the whole thing. The big thing this year was X-Pac, who was on the show this week, Sean Waltman, actually returned as part of Team Minnesota, and actually as the 1-2-3 kid, with clean shaven, music the whole nine yards, and it apparently has been a joy to be around the entire weekend. I know he was really awesome on the show this week with you, so that's been, you know, great for people. The Colony's been being the Colony, and at they have a little fan lineup that takes place, and they had a body slam challenge, which led to Green Ant coming out, dressed as Lex Luger in 1993, and actually did a little bit of an angle there, which came back to happen later on the show. So that's been pretty cool, too. So all of those things, and Colt Cabana, who is a person that I would love to actually see you wrestle, facing off against Archibald Peck, who is the barrister R.D. Evans in Ring of Honor, and one of the newer guys that's been brought in the Ring of Honor. And I tell you what about Peck slash R.D. Evans. Much like the Bravado brothers, there has never been three guys to come along who you've wanted to punch in the face more, and I mean that in the greatest compliment.
Yeah, I saw R.D. Evans live for the first time at WrestleMania weekend a couple of weeks back, and you know, I won't lie, everybody, I'd been drinking, and I was just sitting there, just kind of enjoying myself, and suddenly my buddy Craig kind of just bumps me and goes, "Look at that guy in the red suit. Just look at him." And I looked at him, and it was R.D. Evans, and I was immediately struck with how completely wacky this man was. It's almost impossible to explain if you've never seen him. He's tall. He's lanky. I can't even, like, describe his haircut, except that it's just, like, just geeky. But, like, not absurdly geeky. Just, like, you know, if he worked at a law firm, he'd have his hair cut like this.
Yes.
And he's got, how can I say this without sounding mean? He's got a wacky face. You know? His face is just wacky.
A walking cartoon character.
He is a walking cartoon character. And I was just...
Hyper?
I was struck by this man. Like, oh my God. This man is a perfect... He is a perfect geek in the embassy. You know? And that's his role. And anyway, he's quite fantastic. And later, one of the ROH guys alerted me that he is, in fact... he works for Chikara as a band leader.
Yes.
A band leader!
But he gets the checks, because apparently he's got Veronica and Chikara, and he's got, what's her name? I'm sorry, Mia Yim, I believe her name is in the embassy. So, something about being that tall, lanky geek. That
there's nobody I've ever seen in this business that would better play a band leader than this man. Can you even think of anybody? Like, even Dr. Keith could not play a band leader as well as this guy.
That's actually true. And, in fact, that would be a team that I would actually pine for. In fact, I don't know how... If ROH ever gets TV back on, I can actually see this guy being a mouthpiece.
I'd like a team for King of Trios next year of the band leader, Dr. Keith dressed up as a Teal Day Bang, and Davey Richards.
And Davey Richards?
Yeah.
Why Davey Richards?
I don't know. I just feel that the dynamic would work.
Now, you need to have... Now, would you be, like... Because if this was WWE, you don't want to do this. You didn't want to put a wacky little cowboy hat on a small size on Kurt Angle or have Steve Austin play the guitar, but it is Chikara. So what would you give Davey Richards as he stood there between the band leader and Dr. Keith Lipinski?
Nothing.
As a Till Day Bang with sideburns?
Nothing. I'd just make him stand there as Davey Richards.
But... You know, they did have a Team Dr. Keith a couple years ago. It might be a good time to bring that back.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my idea for next year's Chikara King of Trios.
Oh, and by the way, I do want to throw this one in there, too. Team Mikanoshu Pro may have had a Match of the Year candidate last night against Joshi and the Luchadors, which ended up being Manami Toyota, Mike Quackenbush, and Jigsaw. So I do want to see that, too.
Joshi and the Luchadors? That was the name of the team?
Well, yeah, because you got Manami Toyota, who, you know... It has been around a little bit. She actually came over and teamed up with Quackenbush and Jigsaw.
That's quite a team right there.
I wonder if they dance with the Assyrian Portal.
It's possible. It's possible. Now, one last thing here. Great Sasuke, does he speak much English? How did this interview with Keith go?
Well, it was very, very quick.
I see.
Apparently, Keith, there's going to be more as these DVDs come out, too, of wacky Sasuke-Dr. Keith interaction.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Well, nothing could be... I think Dr. Keith does a fine job. In fact, they have that Ustream thing where they're actually doing pre-shows and stuff like that, too, which, you know, again, good for indies. You had, you know, you talked about Evolve's coming on iPay-Per-View this coming week and everything, and, you know, Ring of Honor was a great success over the weekend or over WrestleMania weekend. You know, Chikara's always been really good at trying to use the internet and using... Yeah, you know, and marketing themselves in wacky ways, even though, you know, traditional wrestling fans and people like Les Thatcher are not fans of it. They do a great job getting themselves out there with the limitations that they have. And those pre-shows, again, it's another good idea, because the next step for them is going to be putting things like King of Trios on internet pay-per-view.
All right, let's get back to action here. The UFC event coming to Rio. Hoyce Gracie, 44 years old, probably, at least for older school fans, the most famous name in UFC history, is talking about coming back to Rio, and he's looking for an opponent. And we've had a number of people step forward. Art Zimmerman. I always get that name messed
Art
up.
Art Jimmerson?
Jimmerson, I'm sorry. And Dan Severn, who, by the way, is... That guy's a walking cartoon character right there.
True.
Now, I don't know if that would work out, you know, because obviously weight difference, that sort of deal. But
it wouldn't matter.
Who would you, I mean, if you had a choice, who would you put Hoyce Gracie with?
If the card's going to be Okami and Silva, which, because it's going to be in Brazil, makes huge sense all the way around. Lots of Japanese in Brazil. It's about, you know, there's only so many guys you can face off new against Silva anyway, even though they've already fought. So it makes sense all the way around that way. And they're talking about Griffin in Shogun, which, you know, that's good. And if you can have a good enough show where people are going to buy it anyway, have the exhibition, you know, and put it under exhibition rules with Dan Severn and Gracie or whoever you can get where it's like, you know what, I can't believe it's going to be a real fight. I mean, Matt Hughes and Gracie was enough. So have it, if you have that sort of exhibition, have it be with somebody wacky like that. Why not?
Well, I have nothing against an exhibition, but he wants a fight.
Well, if he wants a fight, then I don't know what you do except for you put him up against the guy. I'd have to see a list of guys. Again, what weight would this be at, too? 170?
I would think that he would probably... I don't know. I guess...
The whole thing is catch weights, too. I mean, you know, if you have a catch weight or not.
Yeah. I would think closer to 185 would be my guess.
You know, I'd put him in there under a guy that... I don't know if it's a Sakara or somebody like that, where if he loses, it's not an embarrassment that you lost to Gracie. You know, not like it would be an embarrassment anyway. I don't want to sound like that, but where it's not going to affect your business down the line. And if it is a win, you could do with it, you know, from there what you can do with it. But, you know, I wouldn't risk anybody or anything like that. It would just be somebody that you would probably see opening up a versus show or something like that.
We've also got... Okami and Silva, Yushin Okami and Anderson Silva on that particular show. And what are your thoughts on that fight?
Well, it makes the most sense, I think. You know, again, it's like, you know, we're talking about Fitch. You keep trying to find guys because we keep going around in the cycle with GSP. It's the same thing with Anderson Silva. I mean, the only fight out there, I mean, yeah, you could do the whole Strike Force thing. But really, the only other fight out there for him is Sonnen, which is not going to happen right away. So you're cycling back through guys again, and it might as well be Okami. Obviously, there's a whole, you know, Brazilian-Japanese connection there as it is. It's about his time. Sure, I'm actually fine with that.
Let's talk very quickly before the segment here ends. The Champion Carnival Finals. Tell us a little bit about them this year.
Well, it was actually won by Yuji Nagata. New Japan Pro Wrestling's Yuji Nagata, who, you know, there's probably somebody listening here who hasn't seen Japanese professional wrestling since 1998. So, you know, the fact that Nagata winning it probably doesn't sound like a shock, but the fact that he just came off from losing a IWGP championship match, even though he won the New Japan Cup this year, got his shot, and ended up losing, shows you how much times have changed where All Japan, he turns around and he beats one of All Japan's young stars. So he beats, I think it was Takao Mori in the semifinals, and then went on to beat Seiya Sanada in the finals. And it was probably a pretty good match. I mean, Yuji Nagata is the ultimate pro and a guy that is going to be around for a long, long time, as really as long as his body wants to, as long as he wants to, because he can do pretty much anything and be very entertaining at it. So it looks as though there are going to be some more tie-ins with All Japan and New Japan, which probably wouldn't be that bad of an idea, at least as a limited thing coming off of Noah and New Japan working together. So, you know, good move because he's at least a guy who freshens things up, and that's the biggest problem in All Japan, even though Keiji Muto has done a good job in creating some stars, at least to the level that a guy can be stars now and cranking out talent that at least their fan base can believe in. He's always going to be very, very limited, so he needs this outside help. And they've gone through the Kensuke office, gone through a lot of guys, and Yuji Nagata is a great one to be there for him.
And a quick update on Paraguayo Jr. I don't know if we mentioned this last week. If not, the story is that he had a match and his stomach hurt really bad afterwards. And he put it off for a long time, like 4 or 5 days, and finally was talked into going to the doctor. Emergency surgery, a golf ball-sized tumor was taken out of his stomach, an ulcer burst. It was a really bad situation. He was in ICU, actually, for several days. He's now been moved to another hospital. He's in stable condition. Still no update as to whether or not the tumor is cancerous, which, of course, is the number one thing that they're concerned about. And no word yet on when he'll be out of the hospital or when he'll be back in the ring, if he can even return to the ring. So that's the update. It's at least a little better than it was if we did mention it last week, as last week at the time we were doing the show, he was actually in ICU. So anyway, when we hear more, we will update you, and it'll be up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com as well. We're going to head to a break. Be right back with the final segment, Wrestling Observer Live, here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 minutes, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. If you missed the show, we're up every Sunday, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 8 Eastern, on the Sports Byline Radio Network. You can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We have a lot of other ways to listen as well. Sirius Channel 125, you can listen online if you've got an iPhone, iPad, Android, BlackBerry. There are apps in which you can listen to this show live on your phone as well. All of that up is up right now at WrestlingObserver.com if you want to check that out for next week. So head over there right now and check it out. We'll also have the lockdown pay-per-view results coming up right after this show goes off the air with Dave Meltzer at WrestlingObserver.com. Quick question here before we go from the mailbag. What's the deal with wrestlers using glue to close cuts? Sabu has mentioned doing it. Sean Waltman said he used it for his recent puncture wound where something was sticking out of the guardrail. How effective is it? How safe can it possibly be? Actually, there are
works well.
Yeah, there's actually medical-grade super glue that is used to close cuts in a lot of cases. Some wrestlers just use regular super glue. But, you know, a lot of guys have cuts. They super glue it shut, and it heals. So, you know, for a lot of guys, it's very effective. If you have a deep puncture wound in your chest, I don't recommend glue. And in fact, Sean admitted he should have gone to the hospital, but he didn't until it was almost too late. So he ended up going in there, and they put him back together again. But for small, minor cuts, super glue is safe and effective for a lot of guys. Not that we're giving medical advice here.
If you don't have the Eddie Guerrero cut against JBL or like the Muto Hase cut or something like that, and you just have a little, you know, nick that, they basically, it's supposed to get you to the hospital. Get you to the hospital, not in place of. Yes. Which wrestlers often do.
Yes. So anyway, everybody, that is it for today. We're going to wrap it up here. Next week, we'll be back with a brand new show talking all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Lockdown is taking place immediately after we go off the air. Check out the show on pay-per-view, and if not, you can head up to the website, WrestlingObserver.com, and Dave Meltzer will be doing live running play-by-play. We've also got some free shows up there you can check out on the right-hand side of the page. So a lot of stuff up there. Check it out. I want to thank Mike, as always, for doing the show today, and of course, all of our producers over at Sports Byline. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline Radio Network.